Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. If you have got something to say and ready access to scissors and a photocopier, then you can make a zine. Zines exploded in the 70s thanks to the advent of cheap photocopying, and the art form has found itself alive and well, as I discovered when I rocked along to the 2010 Auckland Zine Fest. I'm at St. Kevin's Arcade on K Road, the venue for the 2010 Auckland Zine Fest. Zine Fest is a trade fair come workshop come meet and greet for the eclectic people devoted to making and distributing zines, as in magazine or fanzine, a term that encompasses a plethora of printed booklets linked only by virtue of being self-published in smallish print runs and generally focused on artistic, political and personal issues that orbit the outskirts of mass public interest.
I'm publishing this comic anthology called Radio Ass Paper. That's what I'm doing.
I'm selling one by James Wiley, and it's about complaints, letters to politicians about arts, and then another handmade one by Larissa Goodwin, mm-hmm. and it's just an adventure through the floral.
It was done by Fairmont Chill number 4, and then we've actually closed the radio station now, but it's kind of a children offbeat of it.
So the radio station currently exists as a zine?
Pretty much. It's kind of a paper reflection of the radio, yeah.
What does that mean?
It's just basically because a lot of people that were involved in the radio station were actually making comics as well, and it was just kind of an idea to put those people together and invite other people to do it, and I've had over 20 contributors now.
Mine is Journey Through the Tickety-Boo, which is just a bunch of drawings and whatnot.
So Susan King stopped speaking at 5.
She's autistic, but she was actually never diagnosed as a child. She hasn't spoken since she's about 5.
And how old is she now?
She turns 60 next year.
And so this Susan King zine would represent her primary form of expression?
I guess so. There are samples in this comic or this zine of her work. She's probably got about 4,000 drawings that we have in collection.
Is she consciously compiling this thing herself?
No, she's not. Our family are doing that. My sister and I have put together the zine. For a long, long time, all these drawings have been kept in boxes and cases at Mum's place, just stored away. And a couple of years ago, I started going through and sorting them out, sticking them in clear files and getting them indexed, started scanning them.
Why zine and why not a gallery exhibition?
You don't have to be versed in art to appreciate them. So
you don't have to be versed in art to go to a gallery either.
No,
so
you don't.
Zine?
Yeah, what I quite like about putting it in a zine is it means you can pick one up for $15. You don't have to go and buy an original or a very expensive print. And you can have one.
You made a zine, then you completely, totally forgot about it.
Yeah, because I was really cool and stuff. I was really excited about it and everything.
What happened to the zine?
It's somewhere on my floor.
Is this workshop going to inspire you to perhaps let that zine breathe?
Which workshop?
The unguided workshop.
The one that you're supervising?
I'm not supervising any workshops.
What's that?
It's unguided. Just stuff if you want to make stuff.
Oh, I get it. So they can just come in and sit down.
Chill out, have a drink, cut and paste.
There's some materials here, so if someone's inspired to make their own zine, they can just rip into it.
Yeah, we've got like safety scissors and everything in case you like have a drink and cut your finger.
Hey, I'm sitting here with Tessa Stubbing, the organiser of the second annual Auckland Zine Fest.
Hopefully annual. I would like it to be annual. That would be amazing.
Why would you make a zine?
I guess you just got something to say and you want to get it out there, or you know, just like making stuff, or like, I've been talking about this a lot lately with my friends and stuff, but like the reason that I love zines is that it takes time and it's like this whole like physical process and it's all really hands-on as opposed to like the digital like computer stuff. It's just so, it's too instant and doesn't really have a soul or lasting. You forget about it straight away.
What is not a zine?
Generally, zine, difference between a zine and a magazine is that magazines are, you know, like high print runs, like high turnover, you know, ads and, you know, glossy and full colour, like not always, but, you know, that's kind of the difference between them. But then again, that being said, you can have like a big print run of a zine as well. Like, we've got upstairs Presence magazine. They call themselves a magazine, but it's kind of like a little bit in between. They might not like me saying it, but they do 2,500 copies. And like, I've done zines with like 10 copies, you know.
I'm Nellie, and we have Presence magazine, and it's a New Zealand music magazine, which also features art and fashion, I guess.
Now, I hear you calling it a magazine rather than a zine, and there is a little bit of controversy over Presence because you didn't cut and paste things and photocopy this, did you? How did you make it?
No, we're all digital, and then we get it printed. Because at the moment, we've got about 2,500 copies, so we're a bit bigger than a zine, I guess. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping to grow into a magazine. Right. So, yeah. But technically, according to Google, we're still under a zine.
Oh, how's that?
It was like 6,000 or something. Above that, then you're a magazine.
Who are the superstars of zines?
Bryce Galloway, he's giving a talk today. He makes incredibly hot sex with hideous people. It's great. He does it quarterly, so he's like constantly churning it over, and he's like pretty established.
So your zine is called Incredibly Hot Sex with Hideous People.
Yeah.
Does it do what it says on the box?
No, it doesn't. One issue was dedicated to the title as a theme, and apart from that, it's hugely disappointing, I'm sure, in terms of content meets the promise on the cover.
What's actually in there?
Makes people pick it up. Like, the latest one is a cartoon diary. So there's a lot more this coffee is shit and I miss the bus than there is Incredibly Hot Sex with Hideous People, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, much more everyday kind of themes. Yeah.
So what's your drive towards zine?
Well, it's... The catalyst for it was completely different from what I'm doing now. Like, I did a first scene because I wanted to promote a CD that I put out. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I should stop trying to court the mainstream media and just print something, you know. Print some information about this CD that I put out for people to pick up. And then having done that, I thought, that was kind of fun. Maybe I should just keep doing it. And it morphed over time into a run of 170 copies every 3 months. And I leave them in Cuba Street retailers and cafes and galleries.
Is it worth it?
Oh, it's definitely worth it for me.
What does that mean?
Yeah. Well, I like the immediacy of it. And, yeah, I mean, just getting stuff out that's not too fussy, you know? So you do things you regret because of the immediacy. Like, you know, I rushed this latest issue out here and, you know, I might kind of like... read the editorial and think, I wish I'd said something different, but kind of the immediacy, and it's good being at things like this where you kind of get to swap comics and zines, you know, and poetry and stuff with kind of like other people, and yeah.
What is the difference between you putting out a zine and, say, someone who blogs on a regular basis on the internet?
I think, the obvious difference is just the kind of the paper-to-computer thing. I mean, some people travel with their laptops kind of everywhere and always sort of hitting hotspots and stuff like that, but for most people the computer's a bit more static than that, and zines can kind of just sit around in the bottom of your bag, that you read them on the toilet, on the bus, you know, kind of like in a park somewhere, and I think that's less likely to happen with a blog. Also, with a blog there's usually much more of a dialogue, I think, with the people reading it. They can sort of post comments all the time. In a zine, the traffic's a bit more kind of one way.
So what is the future in your mind for Incredibly Hot Sex with Hideous People?
Well, this has been going for eight or 9 years, and I'm probably one of the oldest zinesters around. I'm 44 now, and zines have been predominantly a kind of a young person's gig, and so I like the lack of fit that I have with zines, and I like the idea that will just become, you know, I'll become more inappropriate within the zine community as time goes on, and I fantasize about putting out a zine that's about hip replacement surgery and, you know, old people's homes and things like that, you know, one day.
And you couldn't put it past him. The throng of people crowding the trestle tables of Auckland Zine Fest suggests that where there's a will, there's a zine. The tradition of tangible, small-scale, self-published pamphlets stretches all the way back to the invention of the printing press and seems perfectly capable of holding its own amongst the increasingly intangible world of new media. So, as you might have deduced by their nature, zines are available nowhere and everywhere. You've got to keep an eye out. Damien, if you were to make a zine, what would yours be called?
I don't know what it would be called, but it would be a map of places that I found zines, because I think that would be useful.
That's too commercial, man. You'll be kicked out of the zine club.
Oh, well. Coming up after the break, we talk to the kids of 88.